Yavar, thank you for nothing for the Litmans. Thank you very much for having us and giving us this nice all this nice pre-Purim spread here. Zer Hashem, should be continue to be zocha to have Shiurei Torah and Divrei Torah in your house. Shkarta Rudels for coming, and we dedicated the Shiurim tonight for Refuah Shlema for Arik's mother, whose Hebrew name is Miriam Bas Luba, if I got it correctly. If you want to, do you want to say just a little something now, just a minute or two about?
My mother was. We found out she was Shevet Shuna just 2 weeks ago. It was a huge shock, and we didn't know if it was cancerous or not. Had an operation and found that it wasn't, and spread. The good news is, Baruch Hashem, that the surgeon thinks that it's taken it all out. So I saw Rav Eli on Thursday when the surgery took place, and I felt like I wanted to do something just in honor of you know, seeking out Hashem for his rachmos to send the Refuah Shlema. And this was taking place anyway, so I plan to do something separate as well. But just one thought about it all, which I think is it's an obvious thing, but it just struck me, like we often hear of people, you know, maybe a distant cousin or a friend and they're ill or a surgery, and you feel like, you know, thank God it's a Refuah Shlema for them, but it's not so close. And then when it happens to someone so close to you, right, it's a massive wake-up call. And as Rav Eli said to me on Thursday, which gave me a bit of chizuk, in one way can show like how Hashem is just mamash in charge of everything, like the surgeon's there and this expert, that expert, but at the end of the day, it's all Hashem, it's all from above. And it shouldn't take, because I know this happens with me, that when there are tragedies, you know, you come back from a levaya, or you hear someone's very ill, and then you start getting, at least for me, very connected to Anasham, connected to Hashem, and I don't know, I think I'm feeling that it shouldn't take such a thing. We should just constantly feel connected, and as I said, Hashem is in charge, and to constantly try and do good, and to be honest, I feel a bit guilty, like maybe I wouldn't have come tonight, right, but I should, and we should all keep on doing mitzvot and chesed, just because that's what we should be doing. But sometimes it takes a bit of a wake up call to get us moving, so to speak. So B'shat Hashem, with the sort of learning together, and my mother, have a push lame, and like you said, since the surgery, it's actually been really good. Every day has been more positive, and the doctors are happy with how things are going. And Miriam Bat Luba, and things are still a bit up in the air. There's some other tests, obviously, and more tests down the track, but so far so good, and may that B'shat Hashem, may that continue. So. And thanks for the idea of the
Amen. Shkoach. Okay. Refuah Shlema. We'll keep her in our tefillas. Okay. We'll come back to one of the points that Arik mentioned, hopefully towards the end. All right. So we are discussing tonight a few of the halachas of Matanos Levionim. They are discussed in the Shulchan Aruch in the halachas of Purim towards the end. I don't have one in front of me here. I don't know if you have a Shulchan Aruch right here. I could read some of it to you inside.
What?
I figured he probably has, but embarrassing to assume that. He definitely has. I'll ask for it. Chilek Vav, that's the one for all the Mo'adim, almost all the Mo'adim, except for Pesach, are in generally in Chilek Vav. So Hilchos Purim is actually the last section of Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch before the end. It's the very, very last one. The last comment of the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what it is. He quotes, if it's too hard to get, you don't have to get.
No,
I probably took it to school. All right, fine. If you don't have it, it's fine. Okay. The last comment of the Ramah in Hilchos Purim, which is the very last comment in Or HaChaim, is a quote from a pasuk, and I think it's in Mishlei, I believe. It's a Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. Right? You know what that means? Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. That good is the heart of Mishta, somebody who has Mishta, of a celebration or feasts all the time. Right? That's a nice, befitting ending to Hilchos Purim, but it's also a nice idea, a nice way of thinking of our attitude towards the rest of the year. To always, God willing, we should always have happy things happening to us. We should always feel, even if things are not happy, we should feel that our heart is with Mishta. And we should feel that we're thankful for everything that we have, which is a tremendous amount, even if we don't always realize it. That's a great quote from Ramah. Anyway, so when it comes to Matanos Levionim, so basically we know the basic halacha is mentioned in the Gemara. It's based on the pasuk in Megillas Esther that they actually instituted on Purim to give Matanos Levionim. And the Gemara says, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch rules, that that Matanos Levionim we have to give Matanot, which is plural, to Evyonim, which is also plural, which is two. So basically the way that it's understood is that you have to give two different poor people, some form of matanos, and each one gets one. So basically, you're giving one, you're giving two gifts or two, you know, amounts of money, which we'll see in a second, to two different poor people, one for each one. Okay, so each poor person has to get a certain amount of something. Again, either it's money or food.
So, it's not two food items to the one.
It's one to, one on one, one to one, one to the other one. Okay, so two poor people, and each one gets one unit, right, one entity of something, which we'll see in a second what it is.
Suppose Mishloach Manos, which is two items to one person.
Correct. I mean, as opposed to Mishloach Manos, correct. Right. Mishloach Manos is only obligatory to one person, but it's two things to one person. This is one to one. Sorry, how do you say it? Two to two. Well, how do you say that? Everyone understands exactly what you mean.
How'd you get that? It's one to each evyon. If it's matanos plural, why not interpret it?
You're right. That's how the Gemara understands it. That the minimum for matanot is, you know, we're looking at the minimum. So if the minimum is matanot, which is two, and the minimum is for two people, then the assumption is that it's two things for two people, and the minimum amount of that is one per each. Meaning that we can't expand it more than that as an obligation. You have to take the absolute minimum. The absolute minimum that you can derive from there is that you have two matanot altogether for two evonim altogether.
Okay.
So instead of saying that you give two to one and zero to the other, obviously it means you give one to one and one to the other. Again, obviously you could give more than that. We'll see in a minute. What's the reason behind this this mitzvah? So again, the basic idea behind it is, as we would understand, that we want to help support the poor people. But specifically in terms of Purim, you know, the idea that many of the poskim say is that we're trying to make sure that the Evyonim also have, you know, their needs provided for them for Purim, just like everybody else.
Because we can't be happy unless they're happy.
Right, exactly. And that's why the Rambam and many others say that if you have a choice between spending money, because we all have a choice, spending money between Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim, so the question is, which one do you spend more money on? So the clear answer, according to everybody, is that you should spend more money on Matanos Levyonim, again, however much you have to spend, but more of it should go to that, because giving the poor is much more important than giving to all your friends. That's the key point. Again, obviously you have to fulfill the basic Mishloach Manos, but in terms of the principle and the values behind it, Matanos Levyonim is definitely considered to be the more important one. Now, there is a question based on, you know, what it's for. If matanot levyonim is supposed to be for Purim, so the question is going to be, when do you give it? How do you give it? When does the person have to receive it? And we'll come back to that shortly. But again, it's all going to be based on the idea that the basic assumption, according to most, again, there are a few other suggestions thrown out there, but the main idea is that it's supposed to be for Purim lechatchila. And again, if the poor person decides he wants to use it for something else, that's his prerogative. He doesn't have to use it for Purim, but the point is, in the way that we give it, it has to be designed that it could be used for Purim if he so desires. So again, we'll go back to some of the details in just a minute. All right, so that's point number one. Next point. What exactly do you give? So this is mentioned in many of the poskim. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down. So there's basically two options. One is money, obviously, and the other one is, take a guess,
food,
right? If the whole point is to give them food for their suda, for their Purim suda, or for other times on Purim, so obviously giving them food is going to be sufficient as well. So if you talk about food, you could give, you know, one mechubad dish of food, the same way we give for Mishloach Manot. You could give one mechubad dish of food to one ani, and give the same nechubad dish or a different nechubad dish to a second ani. That would be one option, and maybe even the ideal option, according to some, of the way to fulfill matanos levyonim. The problem today, of course, is that it's hard for us to reach all the levyonim, you know, that are not nearby, depending on who you're giving to. There are many places you can give to. There are many organizations. There are people in Yad Binyamin and other communities that people live in that you can give to. But obviously, you're not going to be able to send, you know, food dishes, you know, chicken or a sandwich or drinks through the phone or through the internet if you're donating in other ways. Obviously, if you have people in Yad Binyamin, if you want to give them directly, give them food directly, that's one way to do it. But for most people, the more practical way of fulfilling matanos levyonim is generally through money. The point of the money, of course, is that it's something, it's a way that the poor person can take the money and use it immediately to go buy food when he needs. That's the main point of the money. Again, that's why cash is generally preferred. Again, if you donate through an organization, you can donate with a credit card, and they will make sure that the cash gets to the poor person on Purim so that he can go and buy.
Practically speaking, I always wonder about that. How do they actually do that? Because they don't know how much money they're going to raise.
It's a great question. So the answer is, what they often do is they get money forwarded up beforehand.
What?
And they have money already designated from before and from donations or whatever before, okay, or whatever. They even sometimes set out, you know, put out their own money,
yeah,
and say, we're going to put out this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're hoping, or we know already from whatever previous experience, we know we're going to get back that money afterwards. So if you call them up now, a week before, they can maybe use the money,
yeah,
that you give.
Yeah.
But if not, basically what they're doing is they already gave the poor people their money you know, even before you called, and then when you called, basically they take your money and they use it.
So if you call like a week before Purim, do you have to be mechaven that you're doing mitzvah?
So okay, so we'll get that in just a second. Did you have a question? Sorry.
I have a couple. First of all, okay. On that, it seems like the whether you give or not, the poor people don't get any more.
What do you mean?
Or less.
Because the organization has...
They're going to fund organization. In other words, you're giving money or not giving money doesn't affect... But the poor people already got their money. They're not going to get more because you called them. Maybe,
right.
Maybe
so you
next
have to,
year
right.
They'll cash bundle it in.
Right.
But for right now, it seems... That system seems to me to have... Some sort
so here's
of
the question. So to be honest, I don't know. You probably have to ask different organizations. I'm not sure if they all work exactly in the same way. I mean, that's one way that a lot of them, I think, work. But it could be that some of them work, you know, a little differently. The ones that are a little bit more, I guess, either smaller or more communal rather than, you know, national or international or whatever, it could be those actually based on your money. They get your money. They want your money early. They don't want it on Purim morning because at that point it's too late. But they get it a few days before. So then, you know, they can actually use it for what they want. The big organizations, you know, Yad Eliezer, let's say, and Od Yosef Chai and Bad Harabonim and all these places.
Right.
My understanding is that they have to do that because otherwise, there's no way they can get the money out in time. So the question is just, you know, maybe the Anim will get their money, but the question is, are you contributing to their money or is it their money, which at some point will be replenished? Meaning, if they don't replenish it, yeah, they'll have to take donations from later and replenish the money that they used. But in terms of your mitzvah, so you still get a mitzvah, obviously, because your money is going to, you know, in some form, is going to help the Anim.
Right. And the second question was just. There are a lot of halachos with regard to prioritizing tzedakah, things like that. Does that all apply to this? Or is this
That's a good question. That's a good question. To be honest, I didn't see anybody discuss that question. I'm sure somebody does, but I didn't happen to see it myself.
I guess this is from the same thing then.
Yeah.
Because I think this is actually dealing with the machatitza shakal. I think this is dealing with the machatitza shakal that I saw in Yaakov Yosef.
Right.
That...
he's got about 100 pages on the shekel, by the way.
So that you should give. I think he said that. You should give to your shul. If
right.
Like your shul, you should give to your shul because your shul will give it to the local people.
Right.
And that would follow.
But that wasn't.
So machzor shekel. There's more reason to say that it should be given to the people locally. That's more of the source. Again, Yalkut Yosef has about 100 pages on machzor shekel. I looked at it myself the other day, and I was like, I cannot finish this now. You know, in 10 minutes, it's like this big. The book is this big on Purim, and this part is like maybe.
Oh, sorry. So maybe there's only looking some.
Maybe that's the smaller version.
There's a newer version.
Right. The newer version that just came out. It's like 500 pages on Hilchos Purim. It's ridiculous. There's so much material in there. Matanos Le'Avyonim, though, so there definitely is an idea that the people in your community have to get, should get Matanos Le'Avyonim. So if they're not going to get otherwise, then certainly I think the rules of tzedakah that you should give to the people in your community first definitely should apply. The thing is, though, if you only have a few people that are needy, and you have a lot of people that are giving, it could be after the first 10 people that give, there's going to be an overload of money, in which case that's why I don't think that you have to have every single person giving to the local gemach. I think some people should give to the local gemach, but if you give too much, again, so they'll use it eventually, but in terms of do you have to give to them, I don't know if you have to give to them. I don't give to the local gemach here, because I assume that, you know, they don't have, Baruch Hashem, we have some people that we need here, but they're not so many.
Right.
And every single person is giving them 50 shekel, 100 shekel, or whatever, you know, for Purim needs, they're going to be done pretty quickly.
Right.
They'll use it afterwards, and that's fine, but, you know, do you need to give to them? I don't know if every individual person needs to give to them when there are plenty of other needy organizations out there that are going to cater to, you know, thousands of aniyim that they can also use.
Another related issue is giving to stuck organizations is if they're based in Yerushalayim, then it may be a problem. As
great, so that's a good point. I was going to get that, but once you mention it now, I'll mention it now before I forget about it.
In Atlanta, they make a big deal of that. You give it 4 or 5 Purim, it's too late. They say you messed up. They say, no, we'll do Shushan Purim. You know, and you're slime.
That's a question.
That's a question. All right, before
unless
I get
you slip to your slime.
What'd you say?
Unless you slip up with you use the night of your slime.
All right, so again, I apologize. Again, this is going to be a little out of order just because I told you it's not a cigar in my nose. No, it's fine. So once you ask the question, before I forget about it, we'll discuss it now. Then we'll go back to the other points. Can you give Matanos Le'Avyonim for people that are keeping the other day of Purim? So here in Yad Binyamin and most places in the world, we call it Yadalad, can your money go to Aniyam and Yerushalayim on the 15th? So the first thing to mention is that most organizations, if you go through an organization, most of them will ask you which day of Purim do you want to give for. They'll say, do you want it for Yadalad or for Tezvav? And you tell them, assuming that you didn't give it, you know, Thursday night at 6 o'clock or even 4 o'clock, where it's too late for it to really help anybody. For Thursday, you will have the option of choosing either to give it for Yadalad or to give it for Tezvav. That's most of the big organizations that cater to both. They have that option. That being said, if it's not possible, or you know, you want to give specifically to this or that or whatever it is, what's the halacha? So the answer is it's a bit of a machlokas. What the halacha is. So just to summarize for you here in Mikrai Kodesh, which is Rav Harari's Sefer, which is an excellent Sefer in green. So he basically says, and this is what most Muslims hold, l'chadchila, that l'chadchila it's better to give to the poor people on your Purim day. Meaning the point of Matanos Lavyonim is for you to have the mitzvah to give the money on your Purim, for somebody on your Purim to be able to benefit from it. We try to keep it within the day. That's how most of the poskim holds. If you want to see who holds it here, he quotes, I don't remember exactly all the shitas, he mentions here of Mordechai Eliyahu and Rav Avadya Yosef, and then he has a few other poskim here as well. That's my impression, is that that's what most poskim hold, l'chadchila. If you're able to, it's better to do it for your Purim, because again, once you get into a different day, there's a bit of a question whether you can yotzer. Now the same thing is true, by the way, for Mishloach Manot. Also, it's supposed to be for your place. However, there are some poskim that are willing to be a little bit more mekel. He quotes here some of the Eidah Haredis people of Halberstam, maybe even the Minchas Yitzchak, not in the Tshuvas, but somewhere else. They wrote, it could be that there is room to allow, let's say, somebody from the 14th to give Matanos Lavyonim on the 15th as well. So again, without getting into all the details, if that becomes necessary, or if forced, if you're stuck, so then it's better than nothing. You definitely have what to be Somechan. But the L'chadchila, it seems that it's best to do for your own day, if possible.
I mean, this is a more general question. It doesn't relate to this one mitzvah, right? So all the mitzvahs of the day.
Okay.
Is it actually fulfillment of a mitzvah? First of all, how does one become chayv, let's say, in keeping the 15th? In other words, also keep the 15th somehow? And what if you're doing a mitzvah? Right. If I did that...
We can see that he's a new Allah Hadash, right? That question shows he's a Allah Hadash. All right. Okay. That question is the subject of Shira, which will be about 3 hours long, which I actually gave...
the short version.
I gave, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It's on Yaya Torah. There's probably other Shira also on Yaya Torah you can listen to.
That's the bottom line.
All right, so the bottom line is complicated. That's the answer. Basically, the way that it works is that in like 3 minutes or less, is that the halacha for Purim, as opposed to maybe Pesach, if you're visiting, you know, Chutz L'Aretz, Eretz Yisrael, that's different, according to most poskim. Here, everybody agrees that it's based on where you are on Purim. The question is, where are you on Purim, and what does it mean to be somewhere on Purim? So the basic idea is that if you are here, let's say, in a place where they keep you dalad, which is everywhere in Israel other than Yerushalayim, again, a few places that are sfeikos, but most places, no place is definite for 15th other than Yerushalayim. So you keep on the 14th. The question, let's say, for you would be, let's say you decided to be in Yerushalayim on Shushan Purim. So the answer is, according to most poskim, though not all, there are some that disagree, most poskim say that even after you're here on the 14th and you kept your Thursday Purim this year, you then choose to be in Yerushalayim overnight, and you sleep overnight in Yerushalayim on Thursday night, Friday morning. There's a difference of opinion if you planned to be there and you weren't there, or whatever. Let's say you planned and you went there. Once you planned and you went there and you stayed overnight, you're there at Alos HaShachar at dawn on Friday morning this year in Yerushalayim. So the halacha, according to many poskim, and this is what's usually accepted at least for Ashkenazim, is that that you have to keep another day of Purim. So in that way, you actually could keep 2 days of Purim. You keep, if you're here on Thursday and you're there on Friday, then you keep 2 days of Purim. You got to do everything all over again. Which most people don't want to do.
You may have missed the Thursday night.
Okay, so the night Megillah reading is not as important as the daytime Megillah reading. So the night Megillah reading, you know, you can get around. If you knew you were going to do that, then you should try to be there for the night Megillah reading also, but if not, that's, you know, so the day is the main part. The same thing is true, but if you go the other direction, if somebody lives in Yerushalayim and comes here for the first day and then goes back there, if they're here, they plan to be here, and they're here on the 14th, then according to many posts, you can keep 2 days. Some posts can disagree, some posts can say you only keep 1 day, and you have to decide which day. That depends on the situation. We're not going to get into that now. And some say, based on that, if you miss both days of Purim, you start out in Yerushalayim on Thursday, and then you come here on Friday, maybe you're putzer from Purim completely.
There's a guy who does that.
It's not ideal. The poskim say it's not ideal. You really shouldn't do that. But you know, so there are many poskim that say that's in case you don't keep any Purim. Which again is not, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not the
sleep at home Thursday night.
Yes, the best thing to do is stay here. If you want to go to Yerushalayim on Friday morning, go after 5 o'clock in the morning.
And then no problem.
Good luck.
Good luck.
All the poskim are exempting this rabbi. Jerusalem on Friday, you're exempt from...
Correct. As long as you went there, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning at Elos HaShachar, then you can go and have a good time there and get stuck in traffic like everybody else. And okay. Yeah. You don't know. You. Okay. Some people say that, but that's not... All right.
Sorry, Rav Eli, can I ask you?
Sure. Yeah.
You might have made this clear, but you're saying lechatchila to give on your dalim, right? So is it also lechatchila to give a few days?
Okay, so that's, we'll get to that point right now. So the question... The next question is, do you have to actually give the money on the 14th? Let's say if you're a 14th person, or does it just have to be received on the 14th? So this also, the Achronim discuss, comes down to a chakira of what is the determining factor here. Is it based on the nosein, the one who gives it, or is it based on the makabel, when he receives it? The one who receives it. So as opposed to Mishloach Manos, which might be different, by the way, when it comes to Matanos Lavyonim, it seems that most of the poskim hold, if you want names, he mentions names here, I don't remember exactly, but this is what most of the poskim hold, that it's dependent on the person that receives it. Meaning that as long as the ani receives it on the 14th of Purim, then you have fulfilled your mitzvah, even if you committed the money, you gave the money 3 days before that.
So that would imply then that you could give to someone you should like.
Not necessarily. Could be that it has to be, and this is what most people assume.
When the ani is Purim.
No, then Chaim would be right.
No.
We're saying that you want the ani to receive it on the day which is Purim for you.
Okay.
Meaning if the point of your mitzvah of Purim is to make sure that aniyim are taken care of, you can make sure they're taken care of even if you give money beforehand, as long as they get the money on your day of Purim.
Okay. You think the Yerushalayim ani can get the Purim on Yudah and you're fulfilling the mitzvah? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying that the wherever place you are, again, either 14th or 15th, whoever gets the money for your day should get the money on your day, even if you give the money 3 days beforehand.
So I'm saying the guy, you're saying it's going to be Purim for them.
It's going to be Purim for them. Otherwise,
it's got to be somebody who's Purim for them also.
Yeah, that's what I said before.
We said that before already, didn't we?
That's what we said before.
That's what we said before.
You're giving it on the 14th, it's already shoots on Purim.
So again, they are supposed to allow that, but I think
you're giving on your day. You're giving on your day, they're receiving on their day. But it's the same.
So again, my impression, most folks can say that's preferred not to do that if you don't.
Give
it whatever,
Israel, then it's in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's already over in Israel.
Because of the
yeah.
So that means
But no, what you can do is you call them in advance. You donate three days in advance. As long as you donate 3 days in advance, the people on the 14th will get it. If you donate in Purim morning. So in that case, it actually works to your disadvantage, because then, again, if it's depending on the time of day, it could be if you do it at 9 and they get it at 4, it may still work.
So if that's the case, you have to be somewhat careful in terms of organization you give through, because you know, it has to be an organization which really is going to give it on the 14th,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
And the thing is that if the purpose of it is so that the Ani will have what to eat,
it shouldn't matter
if he receives a day earlier. In other words, maybe it'd be more convenient for him to receive it a day earlier because then he'll have more time to go to the store and buy his meal.
Correct.
But according to halacha, it seems to be
he needs to get it a day of. Again, there are some poskim that say that he could receive it a few days before, and that's sufficient. But most poskim say that in order for it to be the true expression of Matanos Lavyonim, then it has to be that. Again, the idea is that we want Purim to be a special day. So even though you're right, it would be more convenient. But
maybe
if Purim,
spend the money beforehand.
Right.
But have any food
if Purim is going to be a special day, you need to connect the special day to the receiving of the money, in which case you have to receive the money on Purim. Otherwise, yeah, it's nice to get it 3 days before, and maybe it's even more helpful, but it doesn't really give Purim that special flavor of the unity and the expression of caring of aniyim that we want to have. That's essentially the idea. Again, there are people that disagree. I'm not saying, I'm telling you that this is what most of us are saying. Only today, practically, in terms of whether if you actually know an ani who lives down the block and you can actually help him by giving him food, maybe that's preferable according to some.
Right, because according to sounds like what Steve's saying is that if you gave food,
they can use it.
More
Yeah. So they say Ravadio Seif seems to say that it's better to give food. Mishnah Berurah maybe says that. It's not so clear. If you had one here, I could show you inside. Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. But again, for just practically, unless you know an ani down the block, and you know, even if you give him food, is he going to want to accept your food? It's better, by the way, a lot of postmen say it's better to do it anonymously so they don't know who they're getting from, then they won't be embarrassed. So even if there is an ani down the block, it's better to go through middleman, which in this case we have one here, but wherever you're going through, it's better to go through a shliach so that they don't know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Okay, a few other points. Rav Holstein is supposed to be speaking after me, but to be honest, I actually have no idea if he's coming or not. He told me he's coming, but that was already a few days ago, and I hope he got the emails that I sent him. I sent him 3 emails telling him where to go and what time. But it could be he won't show up, in which case we'll just go a little longer.
I think we have enough questions.
That's true. We have enough questions over another hour. Yeah. Okay. All right. Next question. So who has to give? So we basically say that everybody has to give. This is based on again the Shulchan Aruch. Men should give. Women in general are chayav to give in terms of wives that are married. So there's a discussion about this. There are some that say that technically speaking, this is discussed by the way in the Mishnah Berurah as well. Technically speaking, she is yotzei with her husband because ishto kegufo, which by the way, Mishloach Manos says not. As clear that that's the case, it could be for Mishloach Manos she does have to send. But Matanos Lavyonim in general, they can send together. But there are poskim that say that that maybe it's slightly
gufa meaning for
that the husband gives Matanos Lavyonim
2 gifts total and that covers everyone.
Right.
Yeah, correct. Which we'll see in a second what the value is. But the Mikra'din, most poskim say that all you have to give is one installment of Matanos Lavyonim, whatever it is, and that's good enough for both. Mm-hmm. However, again, a lot of the Achronim say that L'chadchila there is an idea that maybe she should also give Matanos Lavyonim. So it doesn't mean she has to call up and donate the money, not necessarily, but maybe what it means is the husband or whoever is doing it can do both, but what he could do is give 2 installments of Matanos Lavyonim. So whatever the value will be, which we'll see in a second, the value will be doubled, both him and for his wife. For over bar mitzvah is also a question. Over bar mitzvah, there are, I think the general assumption is over bar mitzvah that you should give. That's what many of the poskim say, l'chachila, that you should give. But because, again, it's a bit of a question, because if they're still, especially in our society today, most of them are still what we call Somech al Shulchan Avim. They're still alive. Let's hope that's the case. If that's not the case, then we have problems, right? so that being the reality, so therefore, there's a question based on that, that maybe the money's not really theirs. You may give them allowance, but unless they made their own money, which maybe some people do, but if they didn't make their own money, so, you know, is there any point to them giving Matzos Lavyon based on the money that's not really theirs that they got from you? So the answer, again, according to most poskim, is that they're still, it's a chiyuv, just like every other chiyuv over bar mitzvah, they have to keep this, also they have to keep. But there are some poskim, which I saw again, I don't remember exactly who they were.
Would it be the same as lulav and anything? I mean, everything.
Yeah, correct. Only because matanat lavyon is financial. That's the only reason why it might be different. Because it's financial, and they don't have money which really belongs to them. Mm-hmm. Again, which may be not true if they actually have a job or something, right. But if they don't, so then maybe that's why you would say that that's not the case. And some poskim say that. Some poskim say in the Iker Hadin that kids over bar mitzvah that are still living at home do not have to give matanos levionim on their own. But again, most poskim say that they should, and l'chadchila definitely should try to do that if possible.
Wow. Okay.
And they do it in shul they collect? I didn't notice them doing it last year.
Well, the Rebbeim collect.
Yeah, there's signs. Look at the signs.
At night or a day?
Beforehand, preferably. Yeah. They say now is better.
Go davening, go Rav Hill, go to Rav Sinai, go to Rav
Meir. We'll go there in a minute. All right, we'll get to
that. Just give them the money.
We'll get to that. Okay. No,
in Maryland, they would announce it, like in shul and Megillah reading. And
right.
They do it also. Right. At the Megillah reading.
We'll get to that. Okay, I'll get to that at the end. Let me just give one or two more points here, and then we'll get to that. Okay, next point. So how much do you actually have to give, right? This is the other big question. So the answer is, it's a machlokas. According to most of the Ashkenazi poskim, this is mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Prima Gadam, it's actually based on a Ritva in Maseches Megillah, the strict halacha, the Ikar Hadin, the minimum, absolute minimum amount, not because you're stretching a leniency, but because the actual halacha, is that the minimum amount is actually none other than the amount of a, I don't know, Shavapruta, that's what they say, alright? That's not very much, okay? You know, most, a couple shekel, maybe even one shekel, maybe even a shekel and a half, even less than one shekel. A bit of a question of how much that is. Not very much. Would you say? No. So again, what they say basically is because there's no amount that's actually given, all you have to give is an amount which is considered to be a halakhically significant amount. The minimum halakhically significant amount is a shavapruta. That's what a lot of the Ashkenazi poskim say. Now again, we'll get to in a second what you should do, but that seems to be what the many Ashkenazim say is the Mekar Hadin. The other shitas, there are some shitas that are quoted, I think, in the Shari Tshuva. There are a bunch of achronim that say this. This is more of the Sfardi Psak, which is that the Me'ikr Hadin Halacha, the Me'ikr Hadin Halacha, not what's good, not what's ideal, what is what you have to do. So they say what you have to do is more based on the reason behind it, which is basically you want to give enough so that a poor person actually can have a meal. Mm-hmm. How much is that? So they talk about, like, you know, they didn't talk about money back then, they talked more about it, how much bread. The consensus seems to be around 180 grams of bread, which is 3 kibbutzim approximately, which is the amount of a small meal. That seems to be the amount of how much you would give for each ani, meaning for 2 aniyim, each one would get that amount, which is the amount for a small meal. How much is that today? So again, there's a question how much that is today. Logically, and this is what you were saying before, Mirzpah said, and I think this is what a lot of people say, basically what you want to do is, you know, give them enough money to buy a small meal that's complete on its own. How can you do that today? So today's easy. There's a lot of fast food out there. The cheapest fast food, you know, probably is, let's say, sandwiches, okay, with, you know, tuna or egg salad or vegetables inside, deli sandwiches, pizza, and falafel is probably the best thing, because falafel, you have pizza, you have vegetables, you know. So falafel you can get, you know, for about 10 to 12 shekel, or so you get a drink. So basically what they would say, you know, 10 to 15 shekel minimum for one ani, if you times it multiplied by 2 for 2 ani, so, you know, minimum 20 shekel, maybe 25 shekel, a little more. According to the second shita of the Sfaradim, that would seem to be the absolute minimum that you can give, and you shouldn't give less than that. Ideally, how much should you give? So I think even Ashkenazim, many Rabbanim say that even for Ashkenazim, even if Mekar Hadin, we agree with the Shavapruta approach, it's best to at least try to get to the second opinion, because it really does make a lot of sense. And it's not hard to give, you know, 10 to give 20 shekel. So even for Ashkenazim, it seems that many accept that it's best to give at least, you know, 20 shekel altogether, maybe even a little more, 25, 30 shekel altogether. And everybody agrees, as we said before, kol ha'marva hariza meshubach. So if you can give 50 shekel, 100 shekel, 200 shekel, you know, that's the more the merrier, as they say. It's definitely best to give as much as you can. Again, you don't have to go crazy about it, but that's definitely, you know, it's not something that we say the minimum, you know, the only amount is 30. The minimum is that, and the more you can give, the better it is. One other point before we take any more questions, and that is, where does the money come from? So the halacha is that the actual matanos lavyon money is not supposed to come from maser money. Why is that? Because you can't use maser money for mitzvos that you're already obligated to do. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Yerodeya. So based on that, what we generally say is that the minimum matanos lavyon money, which again for our purpose, let's say that it's 25 shekel. Okay, we'll say it's 25 shekel. It means the 25 shekels should not come from maaser money. If you want to give more than that for matanos levyonim, and you want to use your maaser money for that, again, if you don't use your maaser money for that, that's obviously even better, because then you're giving even more tzedakah. But if you want to use your maaser money to give more matanos levyonim above and beyond that, so halachically that would be allowed. You'd be allowed to do that. That's fine.
To specify that.
Say that again?
You have to specify that verbally when you do that.
In your mind, I don't think it would take him.
When you give the matos levyonim,
yeah.
Or
yeah, when you give the
matos, yes, I guess it's good. I guess the best thing to do is to say that you're giving it from you're giving it from maaser money, correct? Yeah, that's a good idea. No. Just you're on your own. You say say that I'm giving matos levyonim from maaser money. Just if you say, meaning if you say I'm going to give 300 shekel of matos levyonim money as only matos levyonim money, it could be that there's a question that maybe once that becomes an obligation, then you can't use maaser money for it anymore once you already obligated yourself. That's the question. So I think that's what Chaim's referring to. So it seems that it's probably, you're right, it's probably best to, if you're already going to know you're going to do that, keep that in your mind that it's going to be for maaser money.
Like contemporary poskim seem to and maybe this is because it's become such a thing that people give really fancy and big mishloach manot.
Right.
Talk a lot about
right.
Giving more spending more matanot levyonim.
Right, so you mentioned that before. Right.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I must have.
It's fine. Speak that for a minute. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, everybody agrees that it's better to give.
Does posting say that, by the way?
That what?
What time is this thing?
It's better to get.
Say this?
Not just contemporary, already back to the Rambam. They say that it's better, it's more important to give matanos levyonim than to give mishloach manos, because the money is used for people that really need it, as opposed to giving to all your friends, which is nice and it creates simcha and achdus and everything else. But the ones that really need it, they have to be the ones that are provided for. Okay. Any other questions before we go on?
Is he under the obligation to use that money for our program?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, also let me go over it again now. Also, okay. I mentioned it very briefly. I mentioned it in passing. I'll just mention it again. So the halacha is, again, as we said before, that we want to make sure that the way that we give the money is designed so that the ani can use it on Purim.
Okay.
So therefore, you want to make sure that the ani receives the money on Purim, ideally with enough time that he can actually do something with it.
Fine.
Based on that, the post can say that only determines some of the halachas that we already mentioned about how you give the money and who you give the money to and when you give the money. However, what the ani himself actually uses it for, he doesn't have to use it for poor money. He can use it. Let's say he gets 1,000 shekel on Purim and his suit is going to be only 100 shekel of money. He doesn't have to use the rest of it for Purim. He can use the rest of it for whatever purpose he wants afterwards.
Okay.
But the point is that he should be able to use it for Purim if he wanted to.
Okay, fine.
That's basically the idea.
Okay, good.
So in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah, if one gets to an ani fulfilled, but would it be better, so to speak, if there's one ani in the town, he gets all the gifts, would it be better to give it to someone else who's not receiving so much?
I think so. Meaning that's why I said before, I don't think you have to only give to people in your own town if there are not so many and if they're going to get plenty. It's better to distribute your funds a little bit and give to other places which have lots of ani that they need to support, and they should get some also. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Yeah.
About the giving more to matanos levyonim than mishloach manos, that's regardless of the fact that you're of your maaser.
Yeah. That's just a general point. It's not telling you you can't. It's not telling you how much to give for this and how much to give for that.
You're giving to the anim all year long.
Right.
And the mishloach manos is.
I hear what you're saying.
On Purim, I'm saying so basically you're saying, okay, let's say you're just supporting one anim, and you're giving him thousands of dollars. And then you want to give mishloach manos, so on Purim you still have to give him more than whatever you're doing for your mishloach manos.
Again,
even though you know
they don't say it exactly that way. I phrased it in a certain way. They don't say that you have to give more money for this than for that. What they're saying is that it's appropriate to remember that matanos levyonim is more of a worthy cause than mishloach manos, and therefore you should use your funds accordingly. It means that you should if you have extra money to spend, you should spend. It's better to spend on matanos levyonim than on mishloach manos. The same way that on other yomim tovim also we say that there's an important point of giving, having a nice suit on Pesach, let's say, and matzahs and everything else is, of course, important, but it's also important to make sure the other aniyim have as well. So that doesn't mean, that you should, you can't, that you have to give, thousands of shekel of matanos levyonim money on Purim. It means that we have to remember that that's a value, okay? Part of the value of Purim is remembering that we're caring for other people. So if you're already doing that at other times during the year, maybe you don't have to spend as much money on Purim, but the point is that it's, as a value, it's so important that as a value, it takes precedence over the other mitzvah. Right. So again, even if in practice I could hear you that maybe you don't have to, based on you're giving tons of money the rest of the time, if you have to, but you want to make sure that you realize that that's more important than spending money on all your friends. Not that that's not important. It is important. But okay, let me give one or two other points, and then we have more questions. We can do more questions. I'm not sure if Holstein is coming. If anyone knows his phone number, if anyone wants to text him and ask him if he's coming, you're welcome to. I don't have his phone number with me, unfortunately. Okay. The Seder, next point. What are the ways that you can give, at least just here in Yab Yamin, just practically, what are the different ways that you can give Matanos Levyonim here? So here, basically, we have in Yab Yamin, we have Gemach, run by Shlomo Yarimi, and a lot of the money, again, I don't know exactly how they break it down, but the... what's it called? So a lot of the money they give here, again, much of it will go to the Aniyim and Yad B'Yamin that we'll get. So obviously, it definitely is a good thing to give to them. What they recommended here is to try to give the money to the people that are accepting the money, which is mostly the Rabbanim and a few other people, like Rabbanim, before Purim, so they actually have time to distribute it properly. As opposed to saying, I want to be Machmir and give it Dafka on Purim itself, in many cases, including in our community, they recommend giving it certainly beforehand, then if anything on Purim, at least in the morning on Purim, so they have an opportunity to actually do something with it. So if you're going to give it that route, so then that's definitely the way to go. The other option, though, again, because thank God there are not so many people. Yeah, there are a few, but hopefully they get enough. The other option is to give through organizations. The other organizations you can give, some of the ones I mentioned before, just mention again now. So Vad HaRabbanim, if you like what they do. So they have a phone number, which I don't remember what it is, but it's you can Google it. It's, even though they don't have internet, I'm sure, but it's on the internet. You can find it. It's like 1-800-36 something or other. So they have very easy ways to do it. You call up, and if they give them a donation at a different time before, they have your information stored. Very, very easy. Tell them exactly how much you want. Tell them which day it's for, and you're taken care of. No problem. Again, Od Yosef Chai is another good one, which often they do things in America, but they also work here. So they can. So if you get, I don't know the phone number, you can talk to them also, either on Purim itself or a few days before. Yad Eliezer also does that. If you get their contact info, I don't remember what their phone number is, but they're based in Yerushalayim also, and they have definitely Matos Lev Yonim. Another one, which is not far from here, which Rav Orlian used to deal with more, I don't know if he does now, but they also have a phone number, is I think it's called Yad Yisachar Yitzchak. Some of you may have heard of it. It's based in Ashdod, and they have a lot of aniyim that they deal with there also. And there, I think it could be there, they get less donations than some of the other organizations, which are even bigger. So I've given my Matos Lev Yonim sometimes in the past to them. Just call them up again. I Google them online. You could find their phone number. You could ask Rav Orlian for their information. He's got it. He knows the guy who's in charge of it. If you want to tell me from Yad Vashem, he'd be happy to hear. But that's another way you can give. And then for sure, it's going to people in Ashdod, which is definitely on the 14th. If you call them again by the morning, I think it's still okay. In the afternoon, I don't know what they do, but certainly before or the morning of should be fine. So there are a few other ways to give. The other option is, again, if you go out to, let's say, other places, you go to Bnei Brak or somewhere else where you actually have people that actually need the money, you can give to them also. The last part of that, of how you know who actually needs the money, we'll get to in just a second. Any other questions before we move on? No. Okay. Let's see. Did I miss anything that I wanted to mention? Let's see. Okay, just mentioned before, I'm not going to go into this now because it's not so relevant, but they talk about checks. Can you give a check for Matanos Lev Yonim? The answer is, if you give the check a few days before and that there's time to cash it and use the money, the answer is absolutely yes.
Well, what's the difference between a check and a credit card?
With a credit card, the money goes, meaning they take the money from the, your obligation goes to the credit card, but the credit card company gives the money right away. It's immediate.
Interesting. Okay. Checks in different countries and different banking systems. Some of them might as well just be cash.
So and even in this country, that's the case. It depends where and how.
So here,
check to Kira. It takes 3 days to Kira in Israel.
That's actually, I forgot, you're right. That's true.
It takes 3 days to Kira.
That's a question. I guess you can't use the You say you can't use the money for a few days before, even if it's deposits. That's a good point. So what he says in Mikrai Kodesh, he says, if the banks are open, he quotes, I think, Rav Morchelio, somebody on that, if the banks are open and the guy can actually cash the check, then that would be sufficient. Again, he's
actually
assuming the banks are not open today on Purim, I think. Most banks are not open on Purim, so that doesn't always work.
It depends on the amount. I mean, I don't know what the rule is in Israel, but like in Australia, for example, I think banks will honor a check up to $100.
Right, so here also, I think I'm not sure how clear it is, but I think they were saying also, if the Ani already has money and he can have this in his bank account, even if he doesn't need it right away, then maybe it would be okay to do it, but to actually use that money, you're right, he can't use that money. So personally, I'd say it's better to, if you're going to use a check, do it a few days before. Don't give it on Purim. That's I would say that's recommended, just because it's a bit of a question of how to do that.
What about foreign currency?
It depends what they can use. If it's like a dollar bill they can actually use, then that's probably okay. If it's a currency they can't use, then that's not immediate funds. So that probably would not be good.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Iranian dollars may not
work. Yeah, that probably will not work here. All right. Okay, there's a lot of other interesting details about this, which we're not going to get into now. There's one interesting question about whether Matanos Lavyonim can go for non-Jewish poor people, which I think I have in my notes. I had mentioned that a few years ago. There were some interesting stories that came out about that. L'chachila is not supposed to be used for non-Jewish aniyim. That was supposed to be for Jewish aniyim, because non-Jewish aniyim do not observe Purim. But if they do, you know, if they need it and they're going to get upset or whatever, so there may be room to allow it. Oh. So that's the story with that. Okay, let me finish up with the last point here, and then Rav Holstein. So the last point I just wanted to mention, I could be Rav Holstein's going to talk about this also a little bit, I'm not sure. So okay, fine. So that's not at all related to what I'm going to mention now. Okay. There's an interesting halacha, all right? We talk about who do you give to. So there's a bit of a question of who qualifies as an ani. The bottom line today, and this is a big discussion in the post, and there's a lot of them in the course about this, which are very, very interesting to look at. 50 zuz and, you know, 200 zuz or whatever, all the kind of stuff that was relevant in past years, which is not really relevant today. Today, what most of the contemporary posts can say is anybody that's not making enough money to get through the year with, you know, with normal expenses and with a normal, you know, apartment without luxury, is having trouble making ends meet, either because he doesn't have a job, or even if he does have a job but they're struggling, or even if there's extra, you know, extra problems, God forbid there's, you know, medical issues or something like that. So in general, anybody that's in that category is considered to be an ani that you can give Matanos Lavyonim for on Purim. Again, exactly for the details, so we're not going to go into that now. Obviously, there are going to be some questions. What'd you say?
The entire country,
yeah. All right, yeah. So again, yeah, somehow people get through. I don't know how they get through. But again, that's the principle behind the halacha. Again, the practical things, you can assume that the organizations you're giving to and other people, the gabbayim that you're giving to, hopefully have checked it out and seen that the people really need. Based on that, so then there's an interesting Gemara, a very famous point, which you're probably all familiar with, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskens this, that on Purim we say that anybody that stretches out their hand on Purim, we give them. Kol mi sheposhet yad nosim lo. What's that based on? So the idea is that this is what is an interesting discussion. We don't want to be medactic, okay? We don't really, in terms of fulfilling Matanos Lavyonim, we want to give it to somebody who's worthwhile, but who's worthy. But at the same time, if people come to you and ask, we don't want to be going to investigate every single person the same way that maybe you should be doing the rest of the year. The rest of the year, there is a discussion that probably you should be checking who's asking for money and get some sort of yeshur, etc., which we're not going to now. But on Purim, the point is we don't want to do that. Purim, anybody who asks, we give them, because Purim is a time that we want to show our achdus, we want to show how together we are with everybody else, and we want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't care, even if they're not worthy, even if they don't deserve it, that's their problem. They'll be responsible for that in Shemayim if they took money that they shouldn't have taken and could have gone to somebody more worthy. But from your perspective, from the giver's perspective, we want to feel that we're showing Hashem, we're doing everything we can to show that we love all the rest of the Jews, and we don't care who needs, who doesn't need, everybody's worthy in our eyes. Based on that, and this is the Machshava point, which, you know, we could give a whole hour shiur on this also, which is a very special point on Purim. And a lot of the Sifrei Machshava and Chassidus, you know, the recent times have spoken about this, that the same way that if we give on Purim, kol mi sheposhet yad nosim lo, we give everybody who wants, so the koach ha-tfila of Purim is very, very special as well. The Sfarim write that on Purim, if we do what we're supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, anybody who asks for something on Purim will receive. And this goes back to the point that Arv was mentioning at the very beginning. The special koach of Purim is that, you know, on the day that the Jews were saved in the times of Haman and Achashverosh and Esther, was mainly because of tefillah. Again, there's obviously a lot of other factors as well, but the main thing that they talk about is tefillah. They davened to Hashem and Hashem saved them. Did they know Hashem saved them? No. Did they know what was going to happen? Everything got turned around. Nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. But it was all based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if our point of Purim is recognizing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is topsy-turvy, we think it's this, and really it's that. We learn the hard way in life that you never know what's going to happen next, okay? Our whole life, I just told my wife the other night, you know, our whole life is our precarious. Every single point, you know, you're working, God forbid something happens, you're out of work, and, you know, or God forbid you get an injury and you can't work anymore. God forbid somebody gets sick, you have no idea what's going to happen next. And I think for the point of Purim is to celebrate the greatness of the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, while at the same time recognizing on the other side that we just have no idea what's going on in this world. Hashem can do whatever he wants, and we are powerless to stop it. Based on that, the point is we come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, Hashem, we learned the lesson. We understand now from the Megillah that without seeing Hashem in front, but in the back of the scenes, we understand that everything is happening that's happening in our lives is coming from you. And we are therefore coming to you to daven, to ask you for things that we need, and, you know, to replicate what happened in the times of Esther, and to thank you for what happened, for the miracles in those times, and also for the miracles that we have today. And based on that, if we shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol mi sheposhei ad yosnim lo, that we give everybody, even if they're not worthy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, the hope is that he will give us also if we're not worthy. And there are many interesting stories about people that have been answered with special tefillahs, ideas of Purim Rebbe's and, you know, Hasidic greatness. There's a lot of stuff here to talk about, not for now. That people that ask for things, they really pushed on Purim. They put in a tremendous amount of kavana into their tefillahs, including into their singing, including in everything else on Purim, then they gain tremendous results. And if you ask for something specific on Purim, there's a good chance that if you do your Purim properly and you do the mitzvos and you don't just make Purim a merry, be drunk and go crazy, but rather a time of intense concentration and thinking about what the messages of Purim are, of thanking Hashem for what he's given us, for the miracles, and davening for something specific, and you really put your all into that davening for that, then there's a good chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer you. That's what they say. Just to tell you one little thing that we do. So, you know, number one, during tefillah of Purim, that's obviously something to have in mind. When you daven on Purim, your Shemona Esrei should not just be a 3-second Shemona Esrei. It should be a very careful Shemona Esrei. Again, not at the expense of the Megillah, but think very carefully about what you need and daven to Hashem for it. Really put your kavana into the Shemona Esrei of Purim. There's an idea of davening Vasikan on Purim that some people develop, that during Vasikan is a special time of Eitz Ratzon. I've done this the last couple of years, and it's beautiful. If you have a new choice for a minion, the Tardachai minion is unbelievable with their Hamans. And again, you can see there also, even when they say Haman, they sing and they scream for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, Torah Chaim.
Only the first one, though.
No. Four or five of them. But you see, when they're screaming, they're not just going crazy. You see in their eyes, you see it, you feel the slavas, the excitement, and they feel, get rid of Haman, get rid of what Hashem is. It's not just, you know, da-da-da-da, rah-rah-rah. It's a whole feeling. It's a whole emotion. And if you have that in your Purim, then it's not just the tefillah. It's not just everything else. It's also even the celebratory points of Purim are, you know, putting all your emotion into it. We developed a custom also to have a chatzos kumzitz, just in my house. The chatzos around every Purim, around 12 o'clock, whatever time chatzos is, to go outside and sing, you know, songs, like 15, 20 minutes, but in our minds to think what we need, to think of one thing that we really want to ask Hashem for, and beg Hashem, and just, if you put in all of your concentration to something like that, and, you know, not just in terms of getting drunk and fall on the floor and doing crazy things, then Purim is a time of very special yeshuas. So Bezer Hashem, we hope that we should be able to be on the giving end completely and to be fulfilled the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim properly. There shouldn't be too many people that need. We should be able to learn the lesson of Kol Mi Sheposhed Yad Nosen Lo, to just give to anybody, even if they're not worthy. And based on that, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we play our Purim cards right and we put our all into the other parts of Purim, the spiritual parts of Purim, Yom Kippurim, the Arizal says that Yom Purim is a special day. It's like Yom Kippur, okay? Yom Kippur is like Purim, actually, which means maybe Yom Purim is even higher than Yom Kippur. That's the other part of the Shir, which we're not going to get into now. But that Purim has a special kodach, maybe even above and beyond Yom Kippur. If we play it right, hopefully Hashem will answer us, even if we're not worthy. And we should be zochet to great Yeshuas, both by Yamim HaHem and Bazman HaZeh.
Amen.